immediately following the special meeting, so at your pleasure.
Okay, this Tuesday again, same Tuesday, June 17th, 5:40, we'll start our general session. And can I have a roll call?
All council members are present.
Very good, thank you very much. And we're going to have an invocation from Pastor George Lyman from Desert Shores Community Baptist Church. Everybody stand.
Thank you, Vice Mayor, council members. Shall we pray? Dear God of heaven, we thank you for allowing us to come together as a committee of people elected, chosen by the people of this city to govern and rule this city, and do it in a manner that shows great respect for things like budgets and being responsible as servants of this community. And we thank you for you allowing them to come to a point where they could say they have a balanced budget and they're watching the money they spend. And Lord, we thank you for all the things we see going on in this city to make it a better city. So we pray that you would help each and every one of these members here have wisdom and understanding as they make further decisions. Lord, we pray for the person who will be our next mayor, whether it's one of these members or someone who you're going to allow to be in that role. And we would pray they also would be a person who would really emulate wisdom and understanding and character and honor. So, Lord, we pray to you and thank you for all these things. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who's given us this wisdom and works through us. And I just thank you for each member here. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now we have called to the public. If you're an individual, you get 3 minutes. If there's more than four of you, you'll get 5 minutes. Any takers?
I want to tell you how glad I am that I can talk this time. The last time I was up here, when I shared with you about a program we started at our church called PALS, I sounded terrible. So thanks for listening to me this time. We started earlier this month a program called PALS, Parents of Addicted Loved Ones. And it is a support group with a trained facilitator that helps adults who have adult children who have addictions, and it helps them to figure out how they can navigate through those difficult waters. All of us have had children, and as they grow up, we know that sometimes they get caught up in addictions. It could be gambling, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs. There's so many things that we know that this world can cause problems. So earlier this year, we worked with this group called PALS, and they actually went and trained one of a person to be a facilitator. So on Monday nights at 6 o'clock, we have the PALS meeting at Desert Shores Community Baptist Church, 2625 Landon Drive, and we want to invite anyone who needs help. It's a support group that teaches and educates those adult parents on how they can deal effectively with some of the struggles with how we help our adult children who are going through difficulties like that. So I want to just let you know, thank you for letting me share that with you. And if you have any questions, you can call myself, Pastor George Lyman at Desert Shores Community Baptist Church, 928-754-1111. No, we're not getting rid of that number. It's so perfect. Anyways, so please just thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Next.
Robin Meeting, Bullhead City. Vice Mayor Alonzo, Council, City Manager Cotter, and staff. On behalf of the Tri-State Military Moms, we want to express our thanks to the city for lining Heroes Highway with the flags in recognition of those who have fought for us and have sacrificed for our freedom. In addition, we give thanks to the city, especially Public Works, who works tirelessly to maintain the military banners lining the Highway 95. We want to inform the public that most turning lanes are almost completed, and when finished, we will ask Public Works to install those banners which were removed during construction. And finally, please keep our local men and women who are serving for us in your prayers as dissension is in our world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Paula Fontes Hamby, and I live in the La Puerta area, and I'm here again to talk about our veterans. And some people got a little offended, and I'm not here to tell you how to vote, but once we have the information, and if you don't believe me, it's okay. You can go to the library. If you don't have a computer, get on the computer and type it in, whatever you want to know about, and get your own information, okay? I'm not here to tell you what to do, okay? Last week I was reading about five reasons federal cuts are hitting the veterans especially hard, and I've gone through 1 through 3. I'm gonna try to go to 4. Okay, number 4, we're losing research. The VA's investment in research, about $916 million a year, has contributed to comprehensive understanding of veterans' well-being, meaning the government can target and aid toward those in need. VA research has also helped spark major medical breakthroughs on the link between smoking and cancer, promoting the Surgeon General to put warnings on cigarettes, and the most widely used method to measure and treat prostate cancer. VA research and data are instrumental in the social sciences. There are millions of veterans who come from diverse socio groups, and social science research are able to track them over time. With overall budget cuts at the VA and the federal workforce reduction, at least 350 VA researchers will likely lose their job. That to stop research, I skipped a few words because I don't want anybody to be offended. To stop research on poverty and race shape veterans' health outcomes will undermine not only the general well-being of veterans, but also the entire medical establishment. Knowledge about substance use, mental health, and deeper insight that VA research can provide on or prevent and treatment of cancer and cardiovascular disease. So call your representative. Tell him what you want him to do. Maybe they think we don't care. We do care. So call your, whether you're whoever, black, white, yellow, green, right, left, call your representatives.
Hello, Stephen Brown on behalf of the Bullhead Regional Food Bank. This Friday at 10 a.m., June 20th, we are going to have our ribbon cutting event. We just want to thank everybody in this city council, City Manager Cotter, and everybody who has helped us with our new expansion to be able to feed the public. So we're going to be doing our ribbon cutting event at 10 a.m. We're going to have community leaders there, light snacks, drinks, and just a good time to be able to dedicate our building. The public is welcome, and everybody is welcome to come. We just want to thank you, everybody that's coming, and everybody that has contributed to being able to feed our local population. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Council. Pamela Smith. July 2nd, Colorado River Republican Women will have Senator Hilde Angus as our speaker. You are all welcome and encouraged to attend. It is at Chaparral, 1260 Mojave Drive, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You do not have to have lunch. If you choose to have lunch, it is $15, and we hope to see you all then.
Vice Mayor, City Manager, City Council, Grace Hecht. I have 4 different things to mention that are happening this month. I just want to congratulate the Bullhead Regional Food Bank for the opening of this new building, and on that same Friday from 3 to 6, we will be packing up food. Any volunteers are appreciated, and the very next morning at 7 a.m., we'll be doing our drive-through food distribution. If any of you would like to help, we'd love to see you there. That's at 590 Hancock on Saturday. And that same weekend, on Friday and Saturday, at the Bullhead City Library, the Bullhead City Moms Group is doing a community swap. So if you have clothes, children's clothes, toys, books, shoes, things like that, it's completely free. You can take it all to the Bullhead City Library. Even if you don't have anything to donate and you're in need, you can come and pick things up. I know as children grow, having children myself, it can be expensive to change out this season. So whatever is left over will be donated to the Bullhead City Boys and Girls Club thrift store. So that is from 10 to 4 on Friday and Saturday this weekend. Next, we have the community baby shower. We hold these three times a year at Laughlin Ranch, and this time we have 44 mothers that are registered. All of these moms are moms that no one is having a baby shower for them, and our community has just come around and supported them, giving hundreds of diapers, clothes, car seats, many different items that help support all of these moms. And I would just like to say thank you to our community. If there is an expecting mom that hasn't registered yet, you can do so at makebullheadbetter.com. And the last thing is our Little Sprouts Farmers Market. The next one is June 26th, and that is from 5 to 8. We have partnered with Mojave College, and we have about 35 young entrepreneurs that will be there. They're so adorable, and we would like everybody to come out and support that event. It's from 5 to 8 in room 600 at 3400 Highway 95 at Mojave Community College, or Mojave College now. And that is it. Thank you, everyone.
Hello, everybody. Eva Genovese, Bullhead City. I'm here to promote our 81st annual Republican picnic. It is going to be on July 26th. It's in the Hualapai Mountains Resort and lot number one, and Toby Cotter. I want everybody to try to come. Our dignitaries will be there, and the folks that are running for governor and other offices will be there as well. And they will all be speaking. We will have raffle prizes, and our gun raffle is a 45. It's a small gun, but it's a presidential gun. So we hope that you guys will buy tickets. We have tickets available at our office, and I also have tickets available with me on Thursday at the office. So I hope that you will come. Thank you.
Nobody's given their name and addresses. Don't matter. We don't have a king anymore. I'm going to miss him. It was the best thing I've read in the newspaper in a long time. I'm sick and tired of these people getting up here and cutting down the VA. I'm tired of communists getting up here and having their, they have a right to 3 minutes, but I don't like it. But they have a right to do that. Quit cutting the VA down. There's nothing wrong with it. The people that we're getting rid of is waste, abuse, and fraud. Mainly the jackasses that work upstairs. We got rid of people like fee basis, etc. They've improved the system. We finally got a doctor over here full time. We haven't had one since day one. Well, we had one in the first year. Took me 9 years to get an appointment, or 9 months. But I'm sick and tired of people getting up here, these jackasses that were up the street here on Marina in 95. Well, you guys have your own opinion on that, I'm sure. I went to the the fraud, speaking of fraud, The county had their little get-together yesterday, too. And I want you guys to look up, if you didn't hear, about Lydia Durst, our elected recorder, what she did yesterday. I hope the Republican Party has enough guts and gonads to kick her out of the party. You're going to have to look it up, see what she did. Goodbye, Lydia Durst. In this budget, where's the AI? It better be in there next year, as I've said before. Where in the heck are all those solar lights going, Toby? You can explain that later. I mean, it was up to here. I don't remember sorting those, but I suppose that's probably up there at that animal, so the animals will have something to do, look at. And where did we get a sky watch? Is that what was up there, that thing on wheels, the solar panels with the tower watching the crowd? Was this, is that called a sky watch? Or I phoned the information office. She sent me over to the cop shop. They wouldn't call me back. They don't know. Well, it's gone this morning. Toby knows what it is. When did we order that $1,000 instrument? Palm Springs has one that's got like a drone that takes off and goes up to, like, let's say, Community Park. Something happened up there. Well, a cop car's got to go up the street, boom, boom, and hit every light. This drone can take off from over there and beat the cop car.
Thank you, Stuck. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
Hello, Jack Lynch, Bullhead City. The former person up here, sir.
Can you speak a little bit louder so we can all hear you?
Sure can.
Thank
that
you
better?
Very much. Appreciate
Is that
it.
Better? Is that good? Okay. First thing, as a passionate person myself, I enjoy the passion. I don't enjoy the language. We're in a public forum. There are children that could be watching. Theoretically, we ought to behave ourselves as community members. Number two, this is a local city council meeting, and I appreciate people want to use this platform to address federal problems. It's not exactly appropriate, so you just might want to think about that. AI in the budget, I don't know where that's coming from, so now I got homework to do, but that's cool. Solar lights, to answer the question, are up on the parkway, and they're cool if you haven't seen them. They're like wrap around the pole, and the solar light does that, and I didn't know they did that, so that's kind of neat. I like it, but I'm sad because now the stars are less bright. But anyway, whatever. Skywatch. How much? Oh. You guys, I have like a minute and 40 seconds. I got lots of time. Okay. I don't know what Skywatch is, but it sounds like something out of a sci-fi novel. And for a person who is so paranoid about our information and the government and all this other aforementioned stuff, I'm just shocked that that same gentleman would suggest something that would be more surveillance, more infringement on our personal space, yada, yada, yada. You're a walking contradiction, with all due respect. Most people are laughing at you, and you might want to just channel your passion. I say this as a fellow person who is currently working on this problem of channeling my passion, right? And so I appreciate it, but I will say to each and every one of you, thank you, I appreciate you guys. You guys have to deal with a lot of stuff that is just nonsense. It's nonsense and a waste of time. We're adults, supposedly. It'd be nice if we could all act like it. Then maybe the children could see that and do better. Because don't they deserve that. Okay. Dismantling soapbox. I love you all. Have a great night. No, wait. I won't. I love you guys. Have a good day.
Anyone else? Okay, we'll close call to the public. We'll go to agenda modifications. Are there any items to be withdrawn from or moved to the appropriate place on the agenda? I'll take a waiver motion.
Motion to waive the reading in full of all ordinances and resolutions presented for adoption at this meeting.
Second. Six in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Next, we'll have our manager's report.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Alfonso. Council members, good evening. A couple items this evening of interest to you all in the community. First is summer camp. The Recreation Department has had 836 registrants so far this year for their summer camp program. And that's hugely successful. There's still time to register. There's one more week left next week. So if you need to enroll your youngster in a camp, give Claire Adams a call in the Recreation Department. Stop by the field house, go to recdesk.com, and sign up for that last week of summer camp. Item number two, Rotary Park paid parking. I want to make an announcement that we will be charging for parking over the July 4th weekend and Labor Day weekend at Rotary Park. Our city policy allows management to charge for events and activities. We are being inundated with folks that are from out of state at a free park. That's causing us to spend thousands of dollars in extra maintenance, cleaning, policing. In fact, during the Memorial Day weekend, we moved a bunch of policing and safety down to Rotary Park because of some problems we experienced there. Well, one way to recover that is have our out-of-town visitors pay for it. So during the 4th of July weekend and Labor Day weekend, we will be charging, of course, our local residents. Anyone with a Bullhead City ID is always free at all of our parks. Those people who live adjacent to the city can buy the season pass for $35 and use it at Rotary Park. Again, that revenue generated will pay for all the extra expenses we're having. I think people figured out that it was free to go to Rotary, and that's what they did. While not specifically on this, I am working with police and park rangers on how to keep the Nature Center, Ricardo Beach, safe. It was absolutely unsafe over the Memorial Day weekend. If there would have been a call for public safety, we would not have been able to get in to save lives. That can't happen. So we are going to have some sort of dynamic admission down there where we can only handle so many cars. You can't throw 500 cars in the Nature Center. It's just not safe. So we will be monitoring the vehicular traffic inside of the Nature Center during those busy, really Saturday and Sundays is where it comes down to at the Nature Center. Next item is the Highway 95 right turn lanes. We've kind of been updating council on that. As you all know, we did receive $8 million to work on our right turn lanes. We have expended about $1.7 million so far for design and construction. So Mojave Drive has been awarded. You'll be seeing some construction later this year. Thunderstruck right outside of Mojave High School. You all see that under construction. And then you also know that Safeway, that big long right turn lane in front of Safeway is under design and should be looking at bidding that out, along with Meadows Drive and Laughlin Ranch. So a lot of activity. Angie and her team and outside engineers are working on that, and we've got some great construction projects to add those right turn lanes, which clearly help expedite and eliminate some of the traffic concerns that are out there at those busy intersections. I want to update the council and the community on those center lane medians down by Target. As you all know, those were installed when the city did not have full ownership of Highway 95. It was under ADOT's control when those were put in. And in, under our opinion, the ones put in generally between Ricardo and Central and then all the way down into Fort Mojave were put in, an engineer decided that that would be much safer to install those. We didn't generally agree with that, and I think it's hampered a lot of businesses, really all the way from Target down into Fort Mojave. We did study specifically the area between Ricardo and Central. We do have an engineering report. We can remove those. We will be coming back to council asking your permission to remove those, at least that block so far. We'll look at others in the near future, but we'll be coming back with a project not only because we knew it was right, but at the request of the majority of the business owners in that area who have been asking us since we took over the highway to remove those center lane medians. So again, that'll come back to council in the near future. And then finally, look forward to another ribbon cutting down at the skate park. There's new skate park amenities being installed at the request of our community. Some quarter pipes, half pipes, some other pads down there for the skaters. Also some fake grass, some turf, along with some new shade structures. So those were the things requested by our local skating community. And hopefully early July, we'll be able to open all of that up for the public. Thank you very much.
Okay, next item we have is any council members have any reports or anything regarding current events? We'll start on the left over here. Karen? Tammy? No? You guys? You have anything?
Yes, Vice Mayor Alfonso. Just wanted to say thanks to the Elks. Their flag ceremony this last Saturday was very interesting and well done. Also, that Little Sprouts Farmers Market is awesome. If you missed the first one, get to the next one on June 26th. It's great to see and support all those young entrepreneurs out there.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the consent agenda. Anybody have any comments about the comments, clarifications, exceptions regarding the consent agenda or any items on it?
Mr. Vice Mayor, move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Six in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number four, discussion and possible action to appoint three citizens to serve on the Bullhead City Board of Adjustment for a two-year term beginning July 1st, 2025, and expiring on June 30th, 2026. There are three applicants and three vacancies.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, the next couple items are your annual board and commission appointments. This first one, you have three individuals for three positions. The only one that really requires paper ballots is item number seven. The rest are essentially filling the vacancies with the people who've applied. Typically in the past, the mayor has called those three individuals, given them a chance to present themselves. And then typically the council would vote one at a time to appoint them because sometimes there are specific positions, whether it be a two-year term or four-year term. Pretty simple process, but we got to go through the motions here on all four of these items. So the first one is exactly what the clerk said. It's for the Board of Adjustment, and you have three applicants for three positions.
Okay, you want me to call all three of them up? If you folks would mind, I would like to see Christy, Kenya, and Shannon.
Hello, everyone. I'm Christy Fouts. I live in Bullhead City. I would very much like to retain my seat on the Board of Adjustment. I haven't missed a meeting since my appointment 2 years ago. I do the research and do visit the properties in question. I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't believe the other two individuals are here.
I did send an email. I sent a couple of emails letting them know that the meeting was tonight. Is Kenya Cribb here? How about Shannon Henry?
No.
They're not here. I can tell you that Kenya Cribb does currently serve on the board, and she did send an email requesting to be reappointed. And then Shannon Henry is a new applicant.
Okay, you want to accept all three of the individuals?
And Vice Mayor, that's up to you and your colleagues. And so if you, as you see in page two of the packet, there's recommended motions for all three. Again, you have to kind of walk through that process if someone would make those motions.
Okay.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, I will motion to appoint Kenya Cribb to serve on the Board of Adjustments to fill a two-year term beginning on July 1st and expiring on July 30th. I'll motion to appoint Christy Fouts to to serve on the Board of Adjustment to fill a two-year term beginning on July 1st and expiring June 30th, 2027. And I will motion to appoint Shannon Henry to fill a two-year term on the Board of Adjustment beginning July 1st and expiring June 30th, 2027.
All in favor?
I second.
Six in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number five, discussion and possible action to appoint two citizens to serve on the Bullhead City Building Board of Appeals to fill partial terms beginning July 1st, 2025 and expiring on June 30th, 2026, or full terms beginning July 1st, 2025 and expiring on June 30th, 2027. There are two applicants and five vacancies. The board will remain inactive until at least one more additional individual is appointed to serve.
Vice Mayor and Council members, this would be a good opportunity to find more people out there who are interested in serving, but also you do have two applicants that would be appropriate if you would like to appoint them.
Don, is that for the Board of Appeals? That would be Don, if I pronounce his name wrong, I apologize, Alberts. And the second person is Amy Prince. Are either of those individuals here this evening?
Vice Mayor Alfonso, I did get an email from Ms. Prince today. She said she is unable to attend due to a prior engagement. However, she would like to be reappointed to the board, and I did receive an email from her and Dan Alberts as well.
Yeah, okay.
And both of them serve on the board currently.
I motion to appoint Don Albers to serve on the Bold City Building Board of Appeals, and I motion to appoint Amy Prince to serve on the Bullhead City Board of Appeals.
All in favor?
If I could just have you clarify that motion, for what term would they be?
Thank you. For a full term?
This is for a full term for effective July 1st and expiring June 30th, 2027.
Thank you.
Second.
Six in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number six, discussion and possible action to appoint two citizens to serve on the Bullhead City Parks and Recreation Commission for a two-year term beginning on July 1st, 2025 and expiring on June 30th, 2027. There are two applicants and two vacancies.
Again, Vice Mayor, Council members, this is two for two, and your motion would be recommended.
Okay, Kenya Cribbs and Randolph Sierra, are either one of those here this evening?
Good evening, Council. My name is Randolph Sierra, and I'd like to join that board. So I've been a community member here for 24 years now. I work at the local hospital. I support my local fire department and police department, and I would just like to continue doing it with the parks as well.
Well, good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I will motion to appoint Kenya Cribb to serve on the Parks and Recreation Commission to fill a two-year term beginning July 1st, 2025 and expiring on June 30th, 2027. And I will motion to appoint Randolph Sierra to serve on the Parks and Recs Commission to fill a two-year term beginning on July 1st, 2025 and expiring on June 30th, 2027.
All in favor?
Can I get a second, please?
Second.
Councilmember O'Neill, six in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
I prematurely pushed.
Item number seven, discussion and possible action to appoint three citizens to serve on the Bullhead City Planning and Zoning Commission for a two-year term beginning on July 1st, 2025 and expiring on June 30th, 2027. There are four applicants and three vacancies.
Vice Mayor and Council members, so this one you actually have to take some time and consideration for the vote. You have four people applying for three seats. Typically, the way the mayor would do it in the past is ask each candidate to present themselves, for any questions from the council. Once those four people have been offered that opportunity, then council will actually get a paper ballot from the city clerk. The clerk will tabulate that, and if there's a clear winner, she'll make that known to the vice mayor. If not, you may have to revote. That's typically the way the process has been done, and council's free to follow the same process or do something different.
The four names that I have are Bart Anderson, Paul Barta, Steve Brown, and Mel Stein. Are any individuals here this evening? If so, I'd like you to come up to the podium, say a few words. We'd enjoy hearing from you.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Paul Barta. I live in Bullhead City on Sunlamp Drive and a resident in Bullhead. I'm here to express to you my strong interest in serving on the Planning and Zoning Commission. As I indicated on my file with the city, I have experience in analyzing government proposals, understanding regulations, and working with diverse stockholders in my years working with the federal government, within the Air Force, and also with the Army, on many of the projects at the highest security level, which has prepared me for the responsibilities of this role. I'm enthusiastic about the opportunity to serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission and of a way for me to get back to the community and contribute to the planning process in a meaningful way. I'd like to thank you for your consideration, and it's appreciated, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them now.
Anybody have any questions?
Mr. Bartha, yes, I apologize if I missed it. How long have you been a resident of Bullhead City?
Almost 4 years.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Bart Anderson. I didn't prepare anything. I thought the tabulation had already been done. But anyway, I'm happy to tell you who I am, Bart Anderson. I've been in Bullhead for 8 years. I built a home here. Love Bullhead. I was running for city council in 2024, and my wife was inflicted with leukemia. It pulled us off track. My living miracle is here with me and doing very well. I am currently a Mojave County Sheriff Posse. I volunteered with the Bullhead Police Department as a deckhand on their riverboats for 3 summers. Did about 750 hours doing that. I've designed and built several homes, including the one here in Bullhead. And other than that, in terms of qualifications, I was a business owner. I think I have common sense. I believe that I have a obligation to serve my community, and that's why I'm applying. And I hope you'll consider me. I know there's 3 out of 4. I'll be fine if I don't get selected. But I certainly hope that you'll consider that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next.
Hello, Stephen Brown. I've been on the Planning and Zoning Commission for the last 2 years. After my first year, I was appointed to be vice chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission by my peers. I'm an active member in the community. I was a contractor for 15 years, mechanical contractor. I have an in-depth knowledge of building plans, an eye for construction, and a placement of where things need to be, and to be able to flow and have good feng shui in the city. So I would appreciate to stay on the council, and I mean to stay on the commission and be part of our local community. I stand for any questions.
No questions. Thank you very much.
Good evening, Vice Mayor, Council members, and staff. My name is Mel Stein. I'm a resident of Bullhead City, and I am applying to be reappointed as a commissioner on the Planning and Zoning Commission. I've been a commissioner on the commission for over 12 years. I was appointed in the Jack Haken was mayor. I was the chairman of the commission for 8 years. And as a former builder and developer, probably my best assets for the commission are, one was my experience, and two, in over 12 years, I've missed a total of 3 meetings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. While she's tabulating, I want to just make a little mention about volunteering. Your efforts and dedication inspire us. Thank you for volunteering your time, your energy. Your contributions make a significant difference, and we are all grateful for your unwavering support. The world is a better place because of volunteers like you. Your commitment to volunteer work is more than appreciated, and it's volunteers like you who make our work possible. Thank you for your dedication, support, and your time.
Okay, the results, Bart Anderson received 4 votes. Paul Bartha received 4 votes. Oh, and who voted? Okay, I'm sorry. So Vice Mayor Alfonso voted for Bart Anderson, Stephen Brown, and Mel Stein. Council Member Head voted for Bart Anderson, Stephen Brown, and Mel Stein. Council Member Dahlman voted for Bart Anderson, Paul Bartha, and Stephen Brown. Council Member Ring voted for Paul Bartha, Stephen Brown, and Mel Stein. Councilmember Newland voted for Paul Bartha, Stephen Brown, and Mel Stein. And Councilmember O'Neill voted for Bart Anderson, Paul Bartha, and Stephen Brown. So total, Bart Anderson received 4, Paul Bartha received 4, Stephen Brown received 6, and Mel Stein received 4.
Okay. So it would be 4-4-4.
So we will do another round, and this time the votes will be for Bart Anderson, Paul Bartha, and Mel Stein, so all other than Stephen Brown.
Time for a commercial break. Thank you.
Okay. So Vice Mayor Alfonso voted for Bart Anderson and Mel Stein. Councilmember Head voted for Bart Anderson and Mel Stein. Councilmember Dahlman voted for Bart Anderson and Paul Bartha. Councilmember Ring voted for Bart Anderson and Paul Bartha. Councilmember Newland voted for Bart Anderson and Mel Stein. Councilmember O'Neill voted for Bart Anderson and Paul Bartha. So Bart Anderson received 6, so he's elected. And then we have a tie between Paul Bartha and Mel Stein. So we're going to do one more round of voting. Make sure I have 3, 4.
As a reminder, we want to make sure everybody stays hydrated during these hot days and do not work excessively outside. Thank you.
I Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members. Vice Mayor Alfonso voted for Mel Stein. Councilmember Head voted for Mel Stein. Councilmember Dahlman voted for Paul Bartha. Councilmember Ring voted for Paul Bartha. Councilmember Newland voted for Paul Bartha. And Councilmember O'Neill voted for Paul Bartha. So total of 4 votes for Paul Bartha and 2 for Mel.
Okay, now we'll move right along with,
go ahead, Mr. Gardner. Vice Mayor, we'll have the clerk read the names of those who the council has selected, then we'll have you appoint them with one motion, as the council's already indicated the individuals.
So the majority is Bart Anderson, Paul Bartha, and Stephen Brown.
Okay, everybody, okay, want to take a motion on it?
Yes, I motion to appoint Bart Anderson to serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission to fill a 2-year term beginning July 1st and expiring on June 30th, 2027. I motion to appoint Stephen Brown to serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission to fill a 2-year term beginning on July 1st, 2025 and expiring on June 30th, 2027. And I motion to appoint Paul Bartha to serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission to fill a 2-year term beginning on July 1st, 2025 and expiring on June 30th, 2027.
I second.
Thank you.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 8, this is a public hearing. Discussion and possible action to make a recommendation to the Arizona Department of Liquor Licenses and Control to approve the application for a Series 12 restaurant liquor license, job number 341607, submitted by Lynette Donna Reynos for Big Belly Nelly's Sports Bar and Grill, located at 1751 Highway 95, number 187, Bullhead City, Arizona.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, this application this evening for the new Sports Bar and Grill at 1751, that's right by Safeway, in the Safeway Plaza on the north side of Bullhead City. Staff has reviewed the application, has no concerns, and welcomes any new sports bars in our community.
Would the owner be here by any chance? Lynette Donna Reynos? Okay. Everybody okay with it? Can I have a motion?
Can you just call for a public hearing, please?
Pardon, sir?
Just call for the public hearing, please.
Any objections with the public? Any comments, clarifications, exceptions, or anything like that? No? Okay, we'll close it. We'll take a vote.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Vice Mayor, I move to approve item 8 as read.
Second.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 9, discussion and possible action to 1. Approve the Bullhead City Animal Resource Center wiring and security equipment and installation rebid with My Alarm Tech LLC in the amount of $150,000 plus applicable taxes. 2, authorize the city manager to execute the agreement and issue resulting payments. And 3, approve the transfer of $25,000 from general fund contingency.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, this is for the continued development and construction of the Bullhead City Animal Resource Center. Our Human Services Director, Jeff Tipton, will present this item.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. Vice Mayor, Council, this is a request to approve the agreement for IT wiring security equipment installation to Alarm Tech for the Bullhead City Animal Resource Center located at 2435 Miracle Mile in the amount of $150,000. Just kind of a high level of scope, it's the security cameras, indoor and outdoor, TV cabling, data ports for all the IT locations, burglar alarm, door contacts in motion, and speaker system throughout. Staff advertised for bids in early May and opened bids on May 29th. We received 2 bids, with Alarm Tech being the low bid. The budget for this year was approved for $125,000. An additional $25,000 will be needed from contingency. This agreement is a key amenity to help complete construction this fall, and your approval of this agreement is appreciated. We have Allison Harms, the animal shelter manager, Seth Reddick, sales executive, and Sean Teagarden, vice president, in the audience. If there's any questions, we're happy to answer.
Anybody have any questions? Any questions? I don't have any questions.
Vice Mayor Fonzo, I don't have any questions, but I do have a statement.
Go ahead.
Mr. Cotter and Mr. Tipton, I just wanted to say I like seeing this work go to a local company. I have used my alarm tech multiple times over the years, always with good results. I see they currently have two major construction projects with completion dates this summer, and while I do not expect any delays on our job, it's good to see that the completion date is backed up with a liquidated damages clause and schedule. I will be voting for approval.
I have one comment to make, is the fact that, so the people in the audience know, listening to people listening as well, this did go out for bids. We got a low bid, and the difference between the low bid and the high bid was $200,000. So if we didn't have the system that we have, we'd have been paying over $202,000, to be exact, for the same equipment. Thank you very much. We thank Angie and her folks for doing a job too. Thank you. Can I have a motion on that?
Mr. Vice Mayor, I move to approve item 9 as presented.
Second.
Okay. Vote.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 10, discussion and possible action to approve the master services agreement and purchase agreement with Axon Enterprises Q-6513799-45791 DG, issued May 14, 2025. For a body-worn camera with AI-assisted software in an amount not to exceed $1,281,067.92, including any applicable taxes over the next 5 years, and authorize the city manager to execute the agreement and issue resulting payments.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, you were presented with this information at the budget hearing. We did spend a fair bit of time talking about the AI-assisted body cameras and how that's going to help our officers. As you know, we try to add a few officers every year. This is like adding officers with the use of artificial intelligence and the help with report writing. Our chief couldn't be here tonight, so Lieutenant Harris will do a fine job subbing for him, and we'll present this item. We do actually have a video to show. We want people to understand this project and product. I've had the opportunity to review some of the AI reports. I think they're excellent. And Lieutenant Harris will present the item, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Vice Mayor, Council Member, City Manager, good evening. This is a request to renew the Axon body camera system with the addition of 3 new cameras for a total of 83. The new system will now include an audio transcription service and the new AI Draft 1 report writing feature. Draft 1 is an AI component of the transcription service that allows the system to generate police reports, saving personnel time and allowing officers to be on the street more often. The new system will also include a feature called Respond, which allows real-time GPS tracking and has camera viewing capabilities when it is in the recording mode. And I stand for any questions.
Are we ready to show that video?
Yes.
Okay. It's a couple minutes long, so bear with us. But the council has the information, but we want the community to also understand how this product works.
The Axon ecosystem includes a growing number of solutions that are designed to protect.
Could we turn that up a little bit in the control room?
And accelerate justice. Here at Axon, we are excited to bring you a new feature that will revolutionize the way your officers write their report narratives. The solution? Draft 1. Let's start with a question. How much time do your officers spend writing reports? The data suggests that the average officer spends up to 3 hours per day on paperwork. Draft 1 reduces that time, in many cases cutting report writing time in half, by automatically drafting police report narratives based on body-worn camera audio. Let's take a look at the workflow and the safeguards that we've put in place. The process begins in the field. A call for service has just concluded, and the officer closes out the recording of their body-worn camera. Immediately after the recording is stopped, the Axon body-worn camera will securely transmit the audio of the call for service up to Axon Evidence. When you arrive at your computer, you will then log into your Axon account. Click on Report Writer, and then click Draft 1. Since the audio of the incident has already uploaded from the field, Draft 1 is ready when you arrive, and it presents you with all the calls for service that you recorded in the past 24 hours. If you are writing a report for a call for service that occurred outside of the 24-hour window, you can search for it using the manual search option. Select the checkbox next to the proper call for service, and then select Continue. Next, Draft 1 will ask you to provide context surrounding the type of incident this was, the severity, and whether there was an arrest made. Selecting the Generate Draft button will cause Draft 1 to immediately begin analyzing the recorded incident. And while doing so, it will present the officer with safeguard number 1, which is a reminder to check, correct, and sign off on the draft report that Draft 1 is creating for them. The narrative is then generated, and as you will see, Draft 1 generates a report that is written from the officer's perspective.
It was like, there's a family here. They were like playing at the park, you know, just being normal. And this guy just kept messing with them. Okay. He's like yelling at him stuff and like harassing him.
What's your name?
Marcus.
Okay, all right, Marcus, you have a good day, okay?
Once the report has been fully generated, the officer will insert the text into the Axon Report Writer where the report can be edited. At first glance, you will notice a few more safeguards that we've instituted to ensure the report's accuracy. The Axon artificial intelligence model being used has been instructed to stick to the facts and only generate text based on what is confidently understood by the AI. For interactions that contain ambiguity, Draft 1 will request that the officer insert additional observations that he or she may have noticed. If the officer attempts to submit the report without addressing these requests for greater detail, Draft 1 will not move forward until these requests have been addressed. When they're ready to submit the report, the officer can easily insert it into Axon Records or copy the report to the clipboard to place it inside a third-party RMS. However, before proceeding further, Draft 1 will present the officer with an agency-customized disclaimer that requires the officer's digital signature. By providing this signature, the officer is attesting to the accuracy of the report, all of which is documented in Axon's audit trail. In summary, Draft 1 drastically reduces the time your officers are spending writing reports. It's an incredible force multiplier that enables you to get more out of your existing workforce while boosting morale. Not only that, but Draft 1 will also standardize the format of your reports and improve the overall quality of the reports being created by your agency. For more information or to activate Draft 1, please contact your Axon representative.
Thank you, council members and Vice Mayor. We stand for any questions that you may have or that the public may have.
I have one quick question. When it goes into a draft form that the officer does, is that visible to a sergeant to insert any changes or amend anything in it or what? Or is it a PDF where nobody can do it?
When it's in this draft form, it's when it's within evidence.com, which is Axon. And its draft form is the ability for the officer to first view the AI component to view what was drafted, and for that person to do whatever edits they need at that time. Once they are done with their edits and they sign off and state that's accurate, then they copy that report into our RMS system, our records management system. From there, once they're done with that full report, it goes to the supervisor, who then reads and approves it.
Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else on this side have any questions? Rod? You guys have any questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, now I take a motion. Oh, the public. Does the public have anything they would want to ask? Any questions?
Gary Genovese, Bullhead City. This may be a rhetorical question, but has this passed muster with constitutionality, with the sensitivity of body cameras and the insertions of and different facets of what this report writing, has this actually been adjudicated and will be found to be acceptable in the court of law? because many of these situations we come up against are just, you know, routine nuisance things, but we could possibly run up against a hardcore situation where there's multiple accidents and fatalities and whatever. I just want to make sure that this is passing constitutionality and we're just not waving our swords at windmills. Thank you.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, and just a quick response. We believe it is. We believe that the artificial intelligence, the AI, that technology that's available helps the officer, saves time, creates an efficient process, but it's not a replacement for the officer. As you saw, the average officer maybe spends 3 hours. This will cut the time into an hour and a half. Every officer still has to read every report. They still have to add details. And certainly, anything of any substance will go through multiple review processes. We believe 100% that this will pass muster in court. We believe the company believes that, and certainly it's still the work product of the officer, even though AI helped generate it. The officer is signing off and attesting to everything in the document. Thank you.
Scotty from Bullhead.
Thank you.
I have here about 10 pages of, I had a problem on May 6th, just before your meeting, on May 6th. This is Axon report from three different officers from their body cameras. Sounds just like regular reports to me, and they all say that they will testify in court to this authentication of it. So I think it should pass muster. This is proof that it's already been done, and this is three different officers here. And and it looks just like a regular report, but it only took them an hour. All three of them probably a whole hour instead of hours. So I don't see anything wrong with this, and the guy's still in jail for May 6th, and I hope he gets the 3.5 to 7 years that they're offering him.
Thank you, Scott.
Bart Anderson again, Bullhead City. Are the current cameras upgradable to the software?
Yes, the current cameras are capable of using the software.
Okay.
We're doing it right now. We have set up a trial for this system.
Right.
And we have actually been testing it now for approximately 3 months.
Okay. So the $1.2 million expenditure will upgrade all existing cameras the officers carry. Is that what I understand?
The full amount is for the whole camera system, the whole Axon that we use. So that's the cameras. We have a warranty service through them as well where they replace the cameras twice throughout that five-year period.
Okay.
And then it also includes what we discussed tonight.
Right. And how many cameras is that?
Currently, we have 83. After this, we would have 83.
Okay, so this contract replaces or upgrades the 83 that are currently in use?
This adds a feature to all those cameras. It does not replace those cameras right away. We will be replacing them under this contract later, probably within next month or two, I imagine. And then we'll replace them again, usually within 2.5 years.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Mike Villalobos, Holiday Shores, Bullhead City. So it sounds like it's an upgrade for the system, and that's always good. You talk about the AI, and then earlier someone asked about AI being in the budget. I don't know if that's part of that or not. How does this affect or change any process in citizens getting a Freedom of Information Act of those? Currently, Lieutenant, you've told me it will be over 4 months for a FOIA request fulfilled already through you. Will this new camera setup and $1.2 million speed that process up?
You and I already
reviewed camera.
This doesn't change a reaction time. So when you do redaction of videos, this doesn't change that timeline at all. This only assists with writing the police report itself.
Right. So the availability is still there instantly, but the availability to Freedom of Information Act is still 4 months plus?
It's whatever the time frame is for a Records Bureau at that time, yes.
So we're spending $1.2 million, but we're not going to have any improvement on FOIA requests?
What you're speaking about is redaction to the video. This does not cover redaction to the video.
The AI will not cover redaction.
Redaction, no.
Availability?
Availability to the video?
No.
It will not cover the redaction for the video, no.
Availability to someone requesting it?
Correct.
I'll give you an example. The Las Vegas shooting a few weeks ago at the LVAC, the 911 calls, the video was available through a FOIA request within 3 or 4 days. I understand Las Vegas Metro is different than Bullhead City, but you've told me personally that it'll be over 4 months to receive a 911 call. How is spending $1.2 million going to help?
If I could answer the gentleman's question, essentially on report writing, which is the main function of this new body camera system, it's going to help the officers be more efficient in the report writing, which in theory will help create those police reports in a more expedient fashion for people requesting police reports. However, redacted requests, such as body camera footage, it just goes through a different process. So it goes through legal and other processes. Sometimes those take days, sometimes those take months, depending on how many projects are in the queue. I don't know that when the lieutenant said it'll be 4 months, I mean, that generally speaking, asking for a full report on a car crash and all the body camera footage and all that could take a number of weeks, if not months, because it has to get in the queue, and attorneys and other folks have to go through all of the footage, redacting which we can't legally release. But simply asking for a police report, this could expedite that process. And so I don't think we can give you a sincerely clear answer that it's going to help with 911 calls or body camera footage, but there is a process, they are all available, but we have to go through our legal process and redact those when they're requested.
Thank you very much. Your time is up.
And to answer the gentleman's question, though, what about the AI in the budget? I mean, we've been criticized that there's no AI in the budget. The council knows that there's a number of initiatives that are in the budget, such as this, and other things that we do have in the budget that are using some elements of artificial intelligence, such as robots that paint soccer fields, body cameras that help with police reports, et cetera. So, but again, we're slow to adapt those things. We want to do our research and do all the right things, and this is an example of that. Other agencies have shown that this is a very good product and project for us to adopt.
It seems as if it is, yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I'd like to approve item number 10 as read.
Second.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 11, discussion and possible action to authorize a budget amendments for fiscal year 2024-2025 in the amount of $400,000 from general fund to general services contingencies to the utility, water department, pest abatement, public works, and park and recreation.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, this is an end-of-the-year budget amendment as presented by our finance director. This could be a consent agenda item in some instances, but we're here with full transparency and are able to answer any questions that you may have about any of these items.
I don't have any questions. Anybody else have any questions? Anybody in the public have any questions? Good, I'll take a motion.
Motion to approve item number 11.
Second.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 12, discussion and possible action to approve rescheduling the regularly scheduled City Council meeting from Tuesday, August 19th, 2025 to Monday, August 18th, 2025, beginning at 5:30 p.m. to allow council members to attend the Arizona League of Cities and Towns annual conference.
Vice Mayor, council members, this is an August addendum, if you will, to change the meeting simply from a Tuesday to a Monday. There is a conference in Phoenix that week that we hope the council will attend. It's a once-a-year convention conference where council members are immersed in open meeting law, election law, all kinds of things as presented by the League of Cities and Towns. It's not only an opportunity to learn and be educated on, but it's also networking with other elected officials from throughout the state of Arizona. if we keep our Tuesday meeting, that means to get to Phoenix for the opening session early 8 o'clock, 8:30 Wednesday morning would be very difficult. It's up to the council, but we would recommend moving it just a day earlier if it's not a convenience. Also, we can make sure that as we prepare for that and get ready for that meeting, that we don't overload that agenda or put anything on that'll cause a concern for any of your constituents. We'll make sure that it's matters of routine importance, if you will. We stand for any questions.
Anybody have any questions on it? Over here. Anyone in the public have any questions on it? Good. We'll take a motion.
Motion to approve item number 12.
Second.
Six in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 13, discussion and possible action in regards to the recent council vacancy to 1. Direct the city clerk to issue a solicitation for applications of eligible candidates for the council vacancy. 2. Direct the city clerk to compile the applications for the council's review. 3. Set the regularly scheduled meeting of July 15, 2025 at 5:30 p.m. for the council's consideration and possible appointment of a new council member. And 4. Set a tentative date for a special meeting between July 15, 2025 and August 5, 2025 for the seating of the new member and election of a new mayor.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, you're all very aware of this particular item. Steve D'Amico is no longer the mayor. He resigned and accepted a position with the Metropolitan Planning Organization. As such, council first job that you'll have is to appoint a new council member. That's not being done tonight. What's being done tonight is essentially you're notifying the public that there's an open seat, if anyone hadn't heard, and that you'll have a process that's outlined here in the packet for the appointment of a new council member. Once that takes place and you've sworn that individual in, that individual and you six will appoint the mayor for that essentially 1 year term until a new mayor can be elected. There's a few other moving parts to that, and we're happy to explore all of them. They're in the packet if there's any concerns, but essentially appoint a council member. Once the full council is seated, that council then votes on a mayor, then the council votes on a vice mayor, and we all live happily ever after and have a great year until the next election in the fall of 26. Any questions?
Anybody have any questions? Questions on this end?
Yes, Vice Mayor Alfonso. Mr. Cotter, so the regularly scheduled meeting on July 15th, are we gonna be interviewing candidates at that meeting, or are we setting a date?
Well, that's a good question, and one in which in the past we've had a special date to do that. And so this is really a discussion point for council right now as well. So we could do it at a meeting, but you saw even it's difficult for the Planning and Zoning Commission when we're doing those appointments. You might find it more convenient to call for a special meeting. Now, we don't know how many people will apply. If it's one person, you could do it at a regular meeting. Let's assume it's two or more. I think the council's gonna appreciate having this done on a special day, special time. I think in the past, we had some difficult times where council members passed away, and we did those, I think a few on a Friday, just not Tuesday night at 5:30 when you have other business to do. So if that would please the council, we could certainly set a special date to do all of the interviews and go through that process, but then on July 15th, potentially, or August, you could appoint that individual, and then you could vote on mayor and vice mayor.
You want us to set a date now?
You have a proposed motion. The only thing that's missing is if you want to have a special meeting, as you've talked about. So the way the motion is written is that the 15th, you would consider the applications that are before you. You would be given the applications as part of the packet, and that evening you could select who you would want. We would set a special meeting after that, simply just for the seating of the new member and then for you to assemble and to elect the new mayor. So I would encourage you to maintain at least that situation. That special meeting is only limited to taking care of those two actions, so they're not intermingled with other business of the council. so it's clear what you're doing. So I guess maybe you need to decide if you want to have the consideration of the candidates at a meeting other than a regular council meeting, or earlier, or however you would like to do that.
And Vice Mayor, the problem, if we set it, for example, as a workshop, the problem is, I think the council who've gone through this experience, we say, okay, every hour, every 30 minutes, and then there were a few candidates who took 2 minutes. And then the council sitting around for 45 minutes waiting for the next candidate. So I feel like doing that, you know, kind of in order on a special day made it a lot easier for council than scheduling a workshop and trying to do it every 30 minutes, every 60 minutes. So it's really your pleasure. This is clearly just a council decision on how you want to do it.
Vice Mayor Fonso, I guess for consideration amongst the council, I like the motion as written here. If the clerk solicits for applications at the July 15th meeting, if there are an extensive amount at that time, if I'm understanding correct, we could select a date at that meeting, or we could review and appoint at that meeting. So this would give the clerk time to solicit, receive applications. We'd then, at July 15th, be able to review, decide if we want to have a longer special meeting or use that the July 15th meeting for an appointment as well. So I like the motion as written.
Mr. Vice Mayor, let me see if I can add what I think might be some clarity here. If we direct the city clerk tonight to issue this solicitation, that can be done tomorrow, correct? If we put a closing date on that of June 30th, which is 2 weeks from yesterday, I think that's plenty of time for people to either decide they want to do something and get that information to the clerk. At the meeting on the 1st, the clerk could provide that information to the council. We don't have to have an item for it, but we know that we'll be here. That information could be provided then. At that time, we'll know how many people have shown an interest. If it's 2, then we know we can have a short special meeting. If it's 10, we know we're going to need a little longer special meeting. Then on the meeting of the 15th, everybody would have had 2 weeks to take a look at the packets they were given, those kind of things. Once we know how many there are, we can set a special meeting from that meeting on the 1st for the 15th, giving ourselves time in the afternoon to review that and have the item on the agenda for the end of the 15th and make a selection then. The next question then becomes, what date do we want to install this person at a special meeting and select a mayor? I would opine that we want to do that as soon after the 15th as we can. If it takes one of those following days, if everyone is available, I did hear someone say their only availability was the 15th, so we might have to work on that special meeting date. But it seems to me like that flow would work much better than just putting a solicitation out and then waiting to start talking about it, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Councilmember Head, I guess that I think that's understood. Though we could put out the packets, they would close the 30th. We had already pre-agendized an item for July 1st for an update on the process, so you mm-hmm. know how many applicants we have and maybe perhaps who they are, and then you would be prepared for the 15th meeting for your full consideration at that meeting, if that's what you wanted to do, mm-hmm. or you could decide that on the first of the update.
That makes sense to everybody else on the council.
Yes.
And then we can, I mean, that still gives us a little bit of time in there to set that appointment meeting, that special meeting for the appointment, etc. But
Ms. City Clerk, did you follow along with...
Yes, I did.
With what I had in mind, because if my esteemed colleague will allow me, I'll make that as a motion, and we can go on from there.
Go ahead, make a motion on it, and we'll vote on it.
I move to do all the things I just told Debbie.
But we got it, that's fine.
A second, Councilmember Head's motion.
Six in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
That is the end of this meeting. We thank you very much for your time and your courtesy.